Today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Tes. Shabbos Mem Tes. We are on Mem Ches on the base as we continue the beginning of Bameh Tomnin in the discussions of Hatmana. And related to Hatmana, yesterday we got into, on Mem Ches on the base, issues of Kalim being considered connected to each other or not, because we got into a little bit of discussions of Poseach Beis HaTzavar, when you get the shirt back from the dry cleaner, you're allowed to open it. Why is that different than the case of the Mishnah later on, Megufas HaChavis? And then we went into just two Mishnayos and Seder Taras regarding Shas Malacha and Shalom Shas Malacha, when something is considered connected or Mechubar or not. So a little bit more related to that before we get back to Hatzmana issues. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Mem Chesem Abeis, about eight lines up from the bottom. Mas Poresh Shel Prakim V'Izem El Shel Rehitni. These are two types of kalim. It's kind of like a scissors where you put two blades together or some type of other blade. So any of these, Rashi says the second one, the Izemel, is Shemem Machkin Ba'as HaTrisim V'Nosin HaBarzel Toch Tvushal Eitz HaMesukan Lo. And you use it to smooth out the trisim, and then you take it apart afterwards. So says the Brisa, Chibur L'Tuma V'in Chibur L'Haza. It's a mechibur for Tuma, but not for Haza. Meaning, for Tuma, if one of these blades, there's two different blades connected in some way. So if one of the blades becomes Tami, the other one also automatically becomes Tami as well. But in order to make it Tahar, for Haza'a, to sprinkle the Paraduma ashes with the water on it, so it's not good enough to have it sprinkled on one and not on the other. Even though for Tuma, one becomes Tami, the other becomes Tami automatically, for Haza, we don't say that. So the Gemara has the obvious question, Mimon of Shach. I don't understand. Ichiburhu, if it's considered mechubar, it's considered one unit. So I feel hazah nami. So even for hazah, I should say that it is enough to have sprinkled on one side, and the other side will be automatically tahar. Ilav chiburhu, and if it's not considered mechubar, afilu tumanami loves. Even for tuma, we should not say that one side becomes tami automatically from the other side. So miman of shach, what is this pshara? So Amar Rava, so Rava says, similar to what we said yesterday. Rebeir holds one way, but they were gozer on the other side. So here too. Amar Rava Dvar Torah, really on a Doraisa level. Bishas Malacha Chibur Bein Lutama Bein Lahaza. When you're using this kli, and therefore you want the connection, you're interested in the connection, so then it's considered Mechubar. And for Tuma and for Haza, I mean, if it becomes Tame during the Malacha, or in the middle of while you're using it, you want to get it sprinkled with the Hazah, so then that would really work. V'shalo b'shas malacha, and when you're not using it, so therefore you plan, it's not one of these scissors that you leave together, you take it apart after you use it, so v'shalo b'shas malacha, eino chibur, lo lotum v'lo l'hazah. So Dvar Torah, it's considered mechubar b'shas hazah. The Maariv Chayes just notes here, Dvar Torah does not mean a pasuk. Doesn't say this anywhere in the Torah. Tvar Torah kamina mesora from Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't have to be a pasuk. Near Beinai, hine amar stam tvar Torah Rabbeinu, maybe kral zeh. Ula matzinu sheishtamshu b'lashon zeh, v'kavanaso al halacha misinai. Look in Erevim, right, we have it also in Sukkah, Dvar Torah rubo makbin, halos of chatzitza, Dvar Torah. That's halacha Moshe misinai. Right, mechitzin and chatzitzin, right, are all halacha Moshe v'Sinai. So some Dvar Torah just means didaraisa. Doesn't mean that it says it somewhere. So on a daraisa level, it's only mechubar b'shas malacha. V'gazru rabbanon al tuma shelo b'shas malacha. Mishum tuma shelo b'shas malacha. The rabbanon were gozer though, shelo b'shas malacha, that if one side becomes tamei, the other side should also be tamei, because we're worried that you're going to get confused. Shelo b'shas malacha, atu b'shas, and v'al hazah shelo b'shas malacha, mishum hazah shelo b'shas. And also Hazaa b'shas malacha, where goes there that it shouldn't work. Mishum Hazaa shalom b'shas malacha. Basically, we take the chumra approach to tuma and to Hazaa in both directions. Right. So therefore, again, b'zman hazeh, the let's say if you want to talk about tuma v'tara, Mashiach will come today. We'll talk about tuma v'tara of a scissors. So our scissors l'chora has nothing to do with this, because our scissors, we keep the blades together. It's one kli forever. It's not like two different blades that we put together. Or a nail clipper. A nail clipper has a couple of different blades, you might say. So again, there too, that's one kli. It's made to be a kli, and it's permanently a kli. What we're talking about here is a type of kli that you take apart afterwards. Right, Rashi, on the second to last line, on the Amud. Ula acher malachto notlai menu. Talking about kalim that you take apart after usage. Right, a drill bit Interesting. A drill bit could be, right? If you keep switching the bits, or you don't keep any bits in there, you put it back in the container. So that could be an example. It's a type of kli that you rotate exactly what you put in. Okay, so that's just finishing up chibur and non-chibur. Good. Fourth line. Bizman shehein lachim. So the Mishnah has said that certain types of materials are usher to use always for hatmana because they are considered mosif hevel, and certain items are only usher when they are moist, not when they are dry, because they are considered mosif hevel only when they are moist. So iboy lahu, says the Gemara. So what does that mean, only when they're moist? What type of moisture? Lachin machmas atzman. Does it make a difference whether it's moist from itself, meaning it's moist because naturally it's moist, as we'll see what that means, or could it even be moisture that came from somewhere else, from a different source? Excuse me. So the Gemara says, let's see, Tashma, lo b'teven, the Mishnah's examples are, lo b'teven, v'lo b'zagim, v'lo b'mochin, v'lo b'asavim, the case of the Mishnah, straw, and the psoles of the olives, grass, v'zman she'en lachim. When these are wet, when these are moist, so that's when you can't use them. So, e amr b'shlama, lachin machmas davar acher, if I say included in this is lach machmas davar acher, which some Rishonim mean less moist, and less heat producing. Not less moist, less heat producing. That might be a difference between machmas atzman or davar acher. But if you say machmas davar acher is included, sharper, then I understand this Mishnah. Because not all these items could become moist naturally. So that's why davar acher, anything could become moist, machmas davar acher. Ela'i amrit, lachin machmas atzman. But if you say that it's only lachin machmas atzman, that is the isser of hatmana. So mochin, when we talk about mochin, which are types of materials that come from the animal, mochin, a type of wool, lachin machmas atzman, eich mishkachaslav. Said, how do you ever have lachin machmas atzman? Right, it's just part of the animal, it's the hairy section of the animal. Where does that get wet? Machmas atzman. So how can you, the Mishnah, distinguish between lach and yavesh? So Gemara says, why not? Mimarta de Beinaitmi, where you plucked out some of the feathers, Marita is always plucking, Marita de Beinaitmi, from between the thighs. That's a very sweaty area of the animal. So there you could have lachin machmas atzman. Similarly, the following discussion. V'hadatani Raboshia, we also learned in a brisa, tomnim biksus yevesha ubepeos yevesha, you're allowed to do atmana in dry ksus, a dry cloth. Uvepeos yevashin, and dry fruit, because that's not heat producing. Again, this is all on Erev Shabbos, because on Shabbos, even if it's not heat producing, it's usher, right? Bahatmana be'inu mosif hevel. Everything is usher on Shabbos. But before Shabbos, you could do hatmana in these dry items, avalo biksus lacha, avalo bepeos lacha, but not in moist wool or moist fruit. So ksus lacha, machmas atzman, hechem shkachas lei. So moist fruit, okay, that could be machmas atzman, they start oozing out on itself. But where do you ever have wool that's moist from itself? Machmas atzma, hekamish kachasla, same thing. If you take out some wool from a very sweaty part of the animal, so then it can be moist, machmas itself. Good. Okay, we get next items listed in the Mishnah. What is mosif hevel and what is not mosif hevel? So says the Mishnah, tomnim biksus. So you're allowed to be tomin, what we just said up above. Tomin, you're allowed to be tomin in ksus, which is a woolen part of the woolen items, uva peros, or in fruit. Bekanfe yona, in wings of doves. Seems that was commonly used as a heating and insulating material. Think about it. Think about it. Bizman hazeh, okay, we have a lot. We have towels, we have, special Shabbos Kodesh, Hatzmana, blankets. But what did they have in those days? Right? They had material. They had some towels and materials, but they have a lot of raw materials lying around the house. Right? They have sheep in the backyard. So they shear their sheep. So before they get to use the wool, they're gonna use it to wrap things in. It was much more difficult. How do you keep things hot? How do you keep things cold? Different type of society. We have to realize. So we have to know, though, the principles. Ubina orishal charashim, or in sawdust. Norishal charashim. One's allowed to use that too. Ubina orishal pishtam, or the little strands of flax. Daka. Pishtan Daka, thin flax. Rabbi Yehuda, Oser Medaka, Mata Bagasa. He says, no, Oser is in Daka, that maybe gets too hot, that's most of Hevel, but he allows Bagasa with the thick pieces. Okay, says the Gemara. Amr Bianai. What is this Gemara doing here? All the way at the end, we're going to have a line related to Kanfei Yona. And that's why this Gemara is here. This Gemara appears twice in Shas, both times in Masechta Shabbos. The same as that Gemara, right here in Daf Mem Tes, and also later on in the first Daf of the 19th Perek, Reb Elazar de Mila, first Daf Kuf Lamed. So, Beis Hashem, we'll get to it again then. So, Amar Bianai, Tfilin Tzrichen Guf Naki. Tfilin requires Guf Naki, a clean body. Tfilin requires a clean body. Ke'elisha Balkanafayim, like Elisha Balkanafayim. So, the Rishonim first bothered, what does that mean? What a regular guy does not need a clean body. Only Elisha Balkanafayim needs a gufnaki. We all need a gufnaki, right? So why is it, what is the Mishnah, what is the Gemara saying? So the Mepharshim explained that it means if you have a gufnaki like Elisha Balkanafayim, then miracles will happen for you also. Meaning if you're on that level of gufnaki of Elisha Balkanafayim, yeah, but of course, obviously, everybody needs a gufnaki. Mahi, what does it mean that you need a gufnaki? Abaya Omar Shalo Yafiach Bahen. Abaya says, because when one is wearing tefillin, one is not allowed to pass gas with while wearing them. That is considered a zilzul, disgusting, act done with tefillin on. Rava Omar Shalo Yishan Bahen. Rava says you can't sleep with them. You can't sleep with them because that is also, there's a chshash shem yafiach if you sleep, right? A chshash of hesachadas, and therefore one is not allowed to sleep with one's tefillin. The Rishonim here discuss, it says here, not to sleep. What does it sound like from this Gemara? It sounds like that even, let me just find a line. It sounds like from this Gemara, V'yesh bedaktikim, tekivan da'amar rabba, shelo yishan bohem, desvirle da'asr lishan betfilin, afilu shein asarai. Sounds like even a little doze, right? Let's say I'm tired, and I'm waiting for the chazan to get up to Yishtabach, and I already finished Sugar Zimra, so I'm going to put my head down a little bit, right, for 3 minutes. Right, halavai. I should have three. Right, suga the zimmer should take so long. But says the Ritva, it sounds like from here. Says lo yishan b'hem, period. No limits. Sounds like you're not allowed to sleep. Even those with tefillin on. Upligad Rabbi Yochanan. If that's true, says the Ritva, this would be against Rabbi Yochanan because it's before Shbrav Gemara in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Chavav, which says with tefillin on, yoshein adam shenas arai velo shenas keva. Right, the Gemara there is about sleeping in the sukkah. Shenas keva, shenas arai. So the Gemara there also brings tefillin in that you're allowed to sleep a shenas arai. Right, or let's say I see somebody dozing in shul, do I have to give him a little nudge not to sleep? So the Gemara there says explicitly that you're allowed to sleep Shenas Arai. Kishemosa Shenas Alachem, when I tell somebody to make sure that I don't fall into a Shenas Keva. Right, so it's Machlokas Asugyas? That's what it sounds like from the Gemara, according to the Ritva. Vizeh Das Rav Alfasizal. And he says the Rif Paskins, like that Gemara, that Shenas Arai is Mutter. Vinirim Divrei Omrim, but then the Ritva says, nah, I think the Rav lo pasuk asugi dehasam. I don't think it's a machlokas. The ilo havi hacha mitchri lo hasam, because one of the Gemaras would have mentioned the other one if it was really a machlokas about Rav about such an important point. The hacha hakikama, what it means in our Gemara is as follows: shelo yishalem shenas haasura shemeviato lidei hafacha. You got to read one shita in light of the other shita. The first shita says shelo yafiach bahen. The second line is an expansion of that. Don't do any sleep which could lead to hafacha, but it doesn't mean that all shein is aser. Inami or midas chasidus. Omar. Lumisha menicham kol hayom. Which we'll get back to. Sheyuchal liozar shalo yishan b'hem klal. Afilu arai. So the Ritva first says maybe it's a machlokas hasugis. And he'd rather not say that. He'd rather to say that really keva is the only thing that's aser. Arai, just because you're worried that it might turn into keva. But really, per se, it is not a problem. But if you look in the Rambam and you look in other Rishonim, they hold that even Shenas Arai is Asur. If you look in the, right, some other Rishonim, the Ritva here is Mekel. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Mem Dalet, one Simen in Shulchan Aruch, all about Isser Shena Betfilin, one Sif, calls Man Shat Tfilin Barosho Obizroo, whenever I have Tfilin on, either Tfilin, Shal Rosh or Shal Yad, Asur Lishan Bohem Afilu Shenas Arai. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Even a little doze, putting my head down for 2 minutes with tefillin on, it's aser. That's a zilzel. Ella im hiniach aleihem sudar. unless you covered up the tefillin, right, somehow, that if you don't want to, you can't take them off. V'lo haisa imo isha yashin bohem sheinas arai. And you don't have your wife sleeping next to you. Again, somebody's lying down in bed with tefillin on, but otherwise, you're not allowed to. Ketzad u'oseh. So, right, how do you do it if you're in this situation? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. But either way, that is the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama adds, that's only when you're wearing the tefillin. If you're holding tefillin, you're just holding a bag of tefillin, then you have a little more flexibility. If in their bag. What's the issue of why Sheinas Arai would also be usher? Because it could be that it's not only an issue of hafacha, it's an issue of hesach hadas. I have to be constantly focusing on my tefillin. And if I, for a moment, don't focus on my tefillin, even without the chashash hafacha, that could be a problem. Right? That is the issue that the Rishonim discuss here. The Rosh and Brachos discusses it. The Mishnah Berurah here quotes, Mikol Makom, Mitzvah Mana Mufchar, Shiei Daito Tamin Ala Tefillin. Mishalo Yasiach Daito Mehen, Limshocho Lahar Her Machshavos Ros. Shemitam Zech, Chayav Lamash, Mishachol Shor, Shalei Yasiach Daito Mehen. To constantly keep my hands on my tefillin and always be aware and cognizant of what I'm wearing. Okay, either way, that is just the first ha'ara that we get to about sleeping in tefillin. So that's what we discuss. Even before we continue in the story, there is a discussion in the Ritva here as well. First point of the Ritva is about the sleep. The other point is, what sense do you get out of this Gemara in terms of how long they wore tefillin in those days? V'umistavra. It's mistaver, says the Ritva, shelo namru kol advarma elu elo lemisha bala haniach tefillin kol hayom kemidas chasidim shaaz sarach shehei zarez ba'asvul lenekiyas zek ke'elisha. Maybe that's what the Gemara means by the comparison to Elisha Bakanafayim. You got to be super duper pure if you choose to wear tefillin all day. Avo lemisha menicham b'shas tefillah v'kriyashma. Already 800 years ago, they already didn't wear tefillin all day. Already Bizmana Rishonim, they didn't wear tefillin all day. Already the Ritva is intimating Bizmana Gemara, they might not have worn tefillin all day. Right, because he's saying, when the Gemara compares to Elisha, it means for those who choose to wear tefillin all day. But for those who just wear it during davening, kol adam zarz bekach. Well, you don't have to be like Elisha Bakan Avayim, anybody can do that. She'ain sheina b'shasa tefillah v'lo hafacha. Taksiv hikan l'kras l'kach Yisrael. Everybody could control themselves for a couple of minutes while they're davening. The standard that's described in the Gemara is for Elisha Bakan Afayim, it's a very high standard. But the Ritva already opens the door to us to understand the idea that we know we don't wear tefillin all day. The question is, the Prima Gadim has a suffix. Is the din, well, what does it say in the Torah? You have to wear tefillin. Torah doesn't give any limits. Torah doesn't say during davening. So the Prima Gadim has a suffix. Is it a din d'oraisa to wear tefillin all day? But you know what? We're ba'ones. We're on such a low level, we can't keep our bodies and our minds clean, so only during davening. Ein brera. Is that how we're supposed to understand the Gemara? Because that would be a huge chiddush. Why? Because, okay, so push it. Work hard. You know, some mitzvahs are more challenging than others. But you know what? You got to do it anyway. You got to try to focus. Is that how we should understand it? Or do we say, no, you don't have to wear tefillin all day, daraisa. No, however much you can wear it. Okay, once a day, every day. The stipler in Maseches Brachos discusses there are a number of mitzvahs that there is no shear given in the Torah. And we have no idea how often it should be. So you know what we assume? Once a day, every day. Berachas Kohanim. Doesn't say how often a Kohen should duchen. So maybe a Kohen should have to duchen. If you should have to go to the minion factory and duchen 8 times a day. Nobody's going to say that. Once a day, every day. That's it. Davening. Davening, assuming davening is daraisa. So how often is davening? So the Rambam says the davening that we have, Shachar v'Chamayim, that's all the Rabbanan. The details of davening. But the kazma of davening is daraisa. How often do we have to daven on a daraisa level? Once a day, every day. Once a day, every day. Pashtus. Right? And this applies to a number of mitzvahs where there is no specific amount given in the Torah. So we have it again by Tefillah, Berachas Kohanim, and even he relates it to Talmud Torah. But Rav Asher Weiss here in the Minchas Asher in Shmos at Simen Chaf Dalid has a lengthy discussion where he says, and he has many rayas, Kedarko Bakodesh, that the mitzvah of Tefillin is defined, right? He can't say, oh, it's the Raisa all day. No. Mitzvah Tefillin is defined as much as you can. That's what it's defined as. As long as you can wear tefillin, that's your mitzvah. So in earlier generations, when they could wear tefillin and not have the hesach hadas all day, so that was their mitzvah. Bizman Hazeh, when we're involved in a lot of other things, and we're running here and in different places, and running to the train, and maybe Makomos Meusim. So our mitzvah is to wear it whenever we can, during the time that it's possible for us to wear it. He brings many riots, just to mention maybe one or two. The Rambam holds in Hilchas Tefillin that if somebody it's mitzta'er, umisha ein daito miyusheves alav, patur min ha-tefillin. Mitzta'er is not only a patur by sukkah, it's a patur by tefillin too. Unbelievable. As a Russian wise, where do you get this from? What is mitzta'er patur by any other mitzvah? Mitzta'er patur from, I don't know, think about any other mitzvah in the book. When is mitzta'er from Hashavas Aveda? It's mitzta'er. Okay, they're specific, heterim. It's not about that. No. The answer is, yeah, by tefillin maybe. Why? Nira. Let me just read his line. He says, you see from all of these riyas, the mitzvah tefillin, eino mugderes klal bezman mesuyam, u mitzvasa sheishtadel ha'adam kechol shebiyado, shiyu tefillin alav, u kein mitzvah talmud Torah. When do we have a chiyuv to learn? In all of our free time. She'ein zman mesuyam l'chiyuva, ela mitzvasa sheishtadel ha'adam l'motar, kechol yichalto, aval ein zman mugdar. And again, there are many riyas that he brings to this principle. Okay, but not for, not to go through it, but again, it's in Simcha Chavdalin there. But that's tefillin, that's what he says about tefillin. There is a mystery. Rav Sternbach writes this mystery also, and that is, why don't we put on tefillin for mincha? Mincha, right, so the whole point is that as long as you can. So by mincha we're concentrating, by mincha we're focusing, so for those 8 minutes, for those 10 minutes, we should have to wear tefillin also. Why not? We're just not used to it. Oh, it's a schlep or tefillin, wherever we are during the day. Yeah, so if that was what we were used to, that's a mystery. Why we don't put on tefillin. Okay, there is those that put on tefillin. The Talmid HaGra, where it's tefillin all day still. Certainly yeshivas in Yerushalayim. But the Minhag Olam is not to. And just a mystery why the Minhag Olam is not to wear. If we see somebody with tefillin on at Mincha, we either think they overslept and they missed Shacharis. That's why they're putting on tefillin now. Or it's a Svardi on a fast day. Right, Svardi with tefillin on by fasting by Mincha. Okay, one of the two. But either way, we had the Minhag is not to. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara of Yemai Karila Balkanafayim. So why is Elisha? You have to be a tzaddik like Elisha Balkanafayim. Why is he called Elisha Balkanafayim? So here's the story. Shapamachas Gazra Machus Romia Risha. The Roman government was gozer, Gzeira Yisrael, Shikalaminiak Tfilin Yinakaras Mocho. Whoever puts on tfilin will get his skull drilled into, literally. Will break his head, basically. The Marsha here is mayor, that it sounds like they only were interested in the tefillin shel rosh. Right? Whoever has it on his head, right, will get his head, right, dafke his head chopped up, right, crushed. Why? Because that's what they can't stand. Remember the Gemara in Brachas? Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yar V'mekha Elu Tefillin Shel Rosh. Right? The tefillin shel rosh, that's what they see, that's what's nikar, that's what's awesome to them. Or inspiring. So that's why, that's the one that, they're against. Oh, you want to put tefillin shel yad underneath your sleeve? You know, whatever you want. But here, it's out in the open. Kabbalah Samalcha Shemayim. So that's the problem. As Rashi says here, Shehu Tachas HaTfilin. So, Elisha Menichem, Elisha Balkanafayim went out and put them on. V'yotzei LaShuk and went out to the Shuk. Ra'uhu Kastor Echad. He saw a officer. Ras Milafanav. He started running away. Ras Acharav. Right, he runs. Right, this is in all the Talmudic storybooks. And he runs down one street and he's running down the other street. He's running down after. And he runs this way. Oh, he comes to a dead end. The Kivin Shigia Tzlau. All of a sudden he was about to be caught. He quickly, Natla Miyado. Elisha takes off his tefillin. Vachsa Miyado. He puts it in his hand and holds it behind his back. He said, oh, I have nothing here. Amar lo maze biyatcha. So the Roman general said, oh, come on, what's in your hand? Amar lo, kanfeyona. Just a dove, just a bird. Pashatas Yado. V'nimsu kanfeyona. He opens his hand, and mamish, a miracle occurs. The tefillin turned into a dove, and the dove flies away. Lifa once asked by one of my talmidim, did they come back afterwards? Did he get his tefillin back? The Gemara doesn't talk about that. Whether the bird went back into tefillin afterwards. Lefichach, karen also Elisha Baal Kenafayim. That's why he's called Elisha Baal Kenafayim. Wonderful. A lot to say here. Just first one small ha'ara. That is, there is a mina quoted. Again, it's not a chiyuv, but if one does it, you'll know why. And if one does it, maybe they'll know why they do it. There's a minhag when one folds up their tefillin and wraps it some when the tefillin shel rosh. You have the two sides which went around the head flip over, and then you have the knot. Some people do it on the top, some people do it on the bottom. But there are some that keep the straps out instead of folding them over the box. Why? Because it looks like wings. Right? It's a simit to Elisha Baal Kenafayim. So if you ever see somebody who has their straps out and not wrapped around the box. It's based on this story. That's where the minhag comes from, Elisha Bal Kanafai. It's just a little more difficult to wrap. You just gotta get used to it if one has that minhag. Number one. Number two, the amazing discussion here. You know, let's just finish the Gemara, finish the story, and then we'll talk about the halachic issues. Says the Gemara, why dafka a dove more than any others? Why dafka kanfe yona? And that's why this is here, because we spoke about hatmana in kanfe yona. Mishum de imsil knesses Yisrael yona, because Bnei Yisrael are compared to a yona. Shene amar kanfe yona nechva bekesef v'chulu. Ma yona knafeha meginos aleha. Just like a yona, its wings protected. Af Yisrael mitzvos meginos aleha. And so to Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, mitzvos protect us. Right, what? But the other birds, the wings don't protect the other birds. Only a Yonah. Tosfos says, fourth wide line, Knafem Aginus Aleha, Omeri, Diamina Bemedrish. Tosfos quotes the Medrash Rabbah. Remember, the Medrash Rabbah is from the times of the Tanoim. Kola Ofos Keshehen Yegein Ninochin Al Gavisela. Other birds, when they need to take a rest, they take a rest. They stop flying. Vihayona, Bishashihi Yegeya, Parachas Ba'achas, Vininochas Ba'achas. The Yonah doesn't stop. Yonah just puts one wing down and keeps flying with the other wing. Right? Mitzvahs constantly protect us. There's not a moment in time when the mitzvahs aren't protecting us, just like the Yonah. The Yonah doesn't stop. The Yonah keeps going. That is the Tosfos. If you look in the Ritva here also, the Ritva says that ki hayona yesh la teva, she a different, she ba aleha of gadol ba avir harakia, he nilchemes. B'knaf echad v'nismeches al knaf hasheni. She can fight with one wing and keep flying with the other wing. Kach yish mitzvos maginos aleihen. Aval zeh, and here's the minog, nohagnu b'shas chalitzas atfilin l'chros osam b'tzuras knafayim. Ritva quotes that minog, u'bilvad b'shel rosh shenasa behemnes. As long as at least the shel rosh, you put it back in the form of a bird. U'bishel yad ano osim b'tzuras yud kiem tashlum shakai v'yishnogim l'tzayir b'shtem k'nafayim k'kan feyona v'akolafi mishenagu. Okay, whatever you want to do, that is your prerogative, says the Ritva. Okay, that's why a little bit about a yona. There's more, but let's get back to the halachic issues. It's a fascinating discussion that the Rishonim here ask opposite shilas on the story. This story, though it seems like an agadata, is a major source for a halachic issue. The shaila is, the two opposite shailas are as follows. And each rishon, some of them deal with both shailas, some of them deal with only one. Mimanavshach. Elisha Bal Kanafai, he put on tefillin, so how did he put on tefillin? It's not one of the big three. That's one shaila. How could he endanger his life? It's not one of the big three. So how did he put on tefillin? Yahar Val Yavar? No, it's Yavar Val Yahareg. You can't put a tefillin, so Yavar Val Yahareg. That's on the one hand. And however we answer that question, then you go to the other side. So how do you take him off at the end? However we explain that he had a chiyuv to put them on, then Mamela, how was he allowed to take them off at the end? So let's deal with each question. Number one, how was he able to put them on? It's not one of the big three. So the most obvious answer is Tosfos quotes Shas Hashmad. It's a time of public religious persecution where the Gemara says in Baba Kama, even how you tie your shoelaces is a Yaharik Val Yavar. So that's the most simple answer that one could give. Tosfos does not deal with the question of, well, how did he put them on? He just deals with that implicitly, because he asked the second question. Since it's Shas Hashmad, how did he take them off? That's what Tosfos asks. But you see, the answer to the first question that Tosfos gives is Shas Hashmad. The other answer, though, given to the first question of how did he put them on, is a major machlokas Rishonim. The Ran right here says, even a non-big three can be volunteered. That is the shita of the Chachmei Svarad, that the big three, you have to give your life. But if you're in a situation where you're being persecuted, but not Shas Hashmad, not public where you have to, so then one is allowed to volunteer. Says the Ramban here, Shema HaYisav Shal Yer Adam, O Shah HaYamoser Atzma Lemisa, Shal Vata La Machla Shemayim, V'Rashoy Hu Bekach, V'Eino Kimischayev Benavsho, Afal Pisha Amru Yevato Va'al Yehareg. That is the Ramban, the Chachmei Svarad. Who argues? The Rambam. Clearly, the Rambam screams about this. The Rambam says if somebody volunteers for a non-big three, they're Chai Misa. Right, what if you're already dead? But either way, that's the Rambam sheet. The Rambam says in Ilchus Yisodei HaTorah, you're not allowed to volunteer. This could be connected to the Rambam's rational view, but the Rambam says, Kol mi shenemar yavar v'al yeharig, v'neherag v'lo avar, harezim ischayiv b'nafsho. That's it. V'chol mishenomer yor, and the opposite, you heard about yavar and you don't, okay, you are machal shem shemayim, but you're not chayim misa because you are ba'ones. But the Rambam says clearly, you're not allowed to volunteer. Ask the Kesef Mishnah. What about Elisha Balkana Fayim, according to the Rambam? What about Elisha Balkana Fayim? So either you have to say what Tosfos says, or Shas Hashmad, or the Kesef Mishnah says, if there is a tzaddik shebador that feels that the door needs his sacrifice, then the tzaddik, Yechidei school in the door could choose to do that. Even according to the Rambam. It's not for the masses, but for Yechidei Skula who feel that Roesh Ador Paritz Bekach Rashoi Lekadis as Hashem Belimsor Atzmo Afilo Amitzvah Kala Kedesh Yira Ha'am Belamdu Liyira as Hashem Ula'avo B'cholibam. Okay, so that is a third answer. So basically, answers to the first question. Number one, Shas Hashmad. Number two, you're allowed to volunteer, a non-big three. Number three, Yechidei Skula are allowed at least two to volunteer, even according to the Rambam. That is three. Number four, the Sfasemes. What?
Why do you have to go into the shuk?
Okay, but the last answer that we just gave, the Kesef Mishnah answers that. Kesef Mishnah answers that. The Sfas Emes also deals with this question. Not here. Actually, he deals with the second question. Let's leave that. But that is all three answers to the first question. So now we ask the opposite question. Once we explain perfectly how Elisha Balkan Afayim was able to put them on, so how was he able to take them off? How do you take them off? You heard about especially the Shas Hashmad answer, you know, how do you take them off? So Tosfos says in the Natvam Mirosho, Hainu Mishum, over there by Shas Hashmad, Mishum de Bishini Araksim Misnaikov de Kochavim, but Domishamot Yaslamikal Yisrael. When are you forced Shas Hashmad to sacrifice? When you're forced to do something that clearly makes you look like a guy. So then you're not allowed to look like a guy. So that's why you have to act like a Jew. Abel Hacha, but here what? He's taking off his tefillin? A lot of Jews don't wear tefillin, says Tosfos. Just taking off your tefillin doesn't make you look like a guy. So that's why he was allowed to take them off. So is he alluding to the fact that people didn't wear tefillin all day then? Or maybe Jews, let's say, there are other times that people don't wear tefillin.
But wasn't he specifically chasing him because of the
tefillin? He was chasing him because of his tefillin, but how do you take him off at the end? How do you take him off at the end? So that is answer number one. He was able to take him off because it doesn't look like a guy. The Ramban, the Chachmei Sfarad also quote, maybe there's a difference between ases and los ases. For los ases, so that's where we say, if you do any tiny little thing, right, chugosem los elechu, right, so then you have to give shas hashmad. But for a bitul ase, you don't have that chiyuv to sacrifice. Another way this answer is said, the Ramban says this, and this is very mistaver. When do you have to give your life for Shas Hashmad? I'm not going to let a goy force me to do an aveira. So I'm going to stand there, and he could kill me, unless, right, a Jew has to say, let him be killed instead of doing the aveira. But by an, this is a svar for the previous answer, but by an asay, or at least by something that is active, so what's going to happen? No, I'm going to wear tefillin, even though you tell me not to. Hello, what's he going to do? He'll take off my tefillin. So what use is it? What use is it for me to sacrifice? Right, I'm going to have to be forced to take off my tefillin anyway. So it doesn't make sense for me to be Moser Nefesh in that case. For a los asay, he'll kill me instead of the Aveira having been done. So then it makes sense to sacrifice. But in a case where it's an asay, or something, a positive act that he's going to, if he kills the person, then the guy's not going to do the mitzvah anyway. So that's why we say, you know, it doesn't pay. And the Rishon Rishonim say, Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion in Masechet Avodah Zarah, that taught Torah in public, and he wrapped himself. What do you mean? When he was killed, he couldn't teach Torah? No, the answer is he got a lot of Torah done before he was killed. He was already giving shiurim for a while before they wrapped him up in the Torah. Right, so therefore, he was able to do it. It wasn't just that, he wasn't going to be able to do it anyway. So again, this is a huge discussion, again, in both directions, of how was he able to put it on, and how was he able to take it off. The Sfas Emes, on Kuf Lamed, where this Gemara also comes up, said, I don't know why this is there or not here, but he says, maybe he took them off, because originally he had them on, because he had a chiyuv tefillin. But when the guy came within a certain proximity of him, then it's a bizayim to have it on in the with a Roman general right there.
Because of
Gufnaki. Exactly. That's what he says. Exactly. The Hemshech is Gufnaki. I have this disgusting mevuze Roman general right near me. I take it off. That's exactly what he says. Like the Gemara says later on, Kuf Chavzayin, Rabbi Shua took it off when he went to see a matronisa, and he said that answer Tosfos is kasha. Exactly, it's Kufnaki, and that's why he took it off. Okay. Shabbos Mem Tes needs a couple hours, Rabosai. Okay, so I hope you nobody's going to work today. Okay, here we go. Says the Gemara. Two dots. Binisara shel charashin v'chulu. You think it's only Amud Aleph. Says, so we mentioned all the different items that you could use for Atmana. Ibailahu, Rabbi Yehuda, anisara shel charashin koi, or anoreh shel pishton koi. What is Rabbi Yehuda commenting on when he says difference between Daka and Gasa? So, Tashma, Detanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Na'orish al Pishtan Daka, Hariyu Kazevel, Shramina, Na'orish al Pishtan Koi Shramina. Okay, he's talking about the Pishtan and not the other items of the Mishnah. Good, next Mishnah. Tomnim Bishlochin, Umatatal Nosan. If somebody has hides, they're allowed to do Hatzmana in their hides of the animals. And you're allowed to be Metaltel the hides. The hides are not called Muksa. You're allowed to be Metaltel them. Whether, says Rashi, explaining the Mishnah, whether you actually use them for Atmana yet or not, you move them. Why? Because you could sit on them. They're good cushions. Begizei tzemer vein metalton olsan. But by raw wool, you could use them for Atmana, but you can't move them. Stam, they're muksa. Ketzad huose, what should he do then? Rashi says, look at this line in Rashi. Ketzad huose. Zeshe tamad bahem, ketzad yikul kli rosso. How can he take his pot out? Since it's asur, shaharehi tmuna kula bohen. That's an underlined Rashi. It's totally tamun. That was the machlokas we mentioned yesterday. Machlokas we shown him. For hatmana, do you need totally enclosed? Machlokas shuchnat, we shown him. Machlokas v'chaber the Ramah. What does Ramah mean? Mugula v'mala. But here's Rashi. Harehi tmuna kula bohen. So what do you do? No tulas akisu vehe no flos. So you got to stick your hand, hopefully, to touch the cover of the pot, take off the cover, and mamela, the wool that's on the cover will fall off. What's called tiltul min hatsan. You don't directly touch the muksa. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer kupa mat al tida venotel. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, no, if you have the, you shouldn't take the pot out. Because you might take the pot out, and then the whole thing will fall in, and you won't be able to put it back in without picking up the muksa. So better to leave it in there and just tilt it. Mata al tida benotel. Shema yito, because maybe you'll take out the whole pot, and you won't be able to put the pot back in. So that's why it's better to just keep it where it is and tilt. No, to the machzir. No, you don't have to be worried that the hatzmana elements are going to fall down. No, to the machzir. Good. Rashi here asks, we mentioned this already a couple of days ago, isn't the pot a bussist l'davar ha'asur? This wool muksa is sitting on top of the pot, so how can I take off the pot cover? It's a bussist. So Rashi says, lo ichbalon, dolonas is bussist l'hen she'ein asui ela l'chasos kedera. There it is. Rashi tells us, bussist is not determined by what's on top and what's on bottom, but what services what. Here, the muksa item is servicing the pot. That's not called a bussis. Even though the non-muksa item is on the bottom. Doesn't matter. It goes by what is servicing what. If the muksa item is being serviced, so that's a bussis. If the muksa item is doing the servicing, like in our case, that's not a bussis, because the ikar is the pot. The other answer given to this question, and that's what the Rav Asher Weiss talked about a couple of days ago. How do you look at buses? Was Tosas before? No, the reason it's not a buses is because buses is only when you have kavana for the muksa item to be there all Shabbos. But here you have kavana to take it off when you need the food. So it sounds like fundamentally, though, according to that opinion of Tosfos, buses is automatically what's underneath. The only reason it's not a buses here is because you have another reason, because you don't have it in mind for it to be there all of Shabbos. Good. Yosef Rev Yochanan ben Achinoi. Rev Yonasan ben Elazar. Yosef Rev Chanina bar Chama Gabayu. Two rabbis were sitting in front of one rabbi. Becoming boy lahu. Shlach and Shabbat. What type of hides are we talking about? There are professional hides or, you know, balabayas hides. Shlach and Shabbat balabayas. Not only hides of a balabayas. That's what's mutter. Aval shel uman. But if you have professional hides of an uman, of a craftsman. Kiva the kapat alayah lo metatulina lahu. Well, he's going to want to sell them. So they're muksa. Odilma shel umatznan. Or do we say no? It's even of an uman. The koshikin shel balabayas. And surely of a balabayas would be mutter. So amalu rabbi yonasam en alazar. Mistava shel balabayas. Mistama. It means only of a balabayas. Aval shel uman kapat alayah. But of an uman, he would be makbedon, and therefore it would be muksa. Amalu rabbi chanina bar chama. No. Kach amar shel rabbi yosi. Abba shlacha havi. Shlomo Rabbi Yossi says, my father was a shlacha. He was an uman who worked with hides. The Amar, and he used to say to us, havi u shlacha v'nei shevalei. Can you please bring some hides to sit on? So he was an Uman, and he still used them to sit on. So you see, it's not Muksa, even of a craftsman. Rashi says he did this on a weekday, Tosa said he did this on a Shabbos. Okay, either way. Meisvei, Nisarm Shabbal Abayis, Metalton Osan, Vishal Uman, and Metalton Osan. Boards. Boards of a Balabayis are not Muksa, and of an Uman are Muksa. Vimchishev, Lossis, Alein, Paslarchin, but if you specifically thought about using it for a tray, Bekach Ubekach Metalton, so then it's Mutter. But what do you see? Right, inherently, boards of a Uman are Muksa. So aren't boards of an Uman and hides of an Uman the same thing? No, shiny Nisarm to Kapar Alayu. No, boards are different. You might say the boards are more expensive and they're more machmed about it and not the hides. Period. Tashma, Oros Ben Avudin Meshein Avudin, Mutal Tatlam Shabbos, all Oros, all hides, whether they're worked or not, mutal tatlam shabbos, whether they're tanned, you're allowed to be metaltel, if they're processed or not. Lo amra avudin elinyan tuma, bilvad. The only difference between processed and not processed are whether they are makabel tuma or not. They're the finished product. So they're only makabel tuma if they're avudin. So my love, lo shno shal balabais, lo shno shal uman. Aren't we talking about either one? Even of an uman, you're allowed to be metaltel. Lo shal balabais. No, you could say only the balabais hides. Aval shal uman mai, e metaltelin. But craftsman hides, you wouldn't be able to be metaltel. Ihachi, hadatani v'lo amra avudin elen yitumma belvan. So why do you bring in a new factor? Liflug v'listi b'dida. Just make a distinction within the first line of the brisa. Bamed v'ramamur b'shal balabayis. You're allowed to be metaltel balabayis hides. Avol b'shal uman lo. Why didn't the brisa say that? So the brisa says, no, kula b'balabayis kamairi. No, could very well be. No, the brisa is talking about balabayis hides. So we didn't want to bring in a different person. We're talking about a certain type of hides. Within those hides, it makes a difference if you thought about it or not. Kitanoi, maybe this is really a machlokas tanoim. Or shabalabayas, metaltalin osan, vishal umane metaltalin osan, rabiosi omre echazer echazer, metaltalin osan, period. Okay, so this is all about hides of craftsmen, of a balabayas, whether they are muksa or not. Here we go. One of the most important gemaras in all of Masechet Shabbos. Hadar v'yasvi v'kami boilahu. These rabbis who were still sitting together, there were two rabbis that were sitting in front of one, and they asked them the following question as well. Ha, ditzan, avos, moachas, abram, chasar, achas, keneged me. That Mishnah that we didn't have yet, on Ayin Gimel. That Mishnah, 39 malachas. So, how do you know there are 39 malachas? Right here. So the Pnei Yeshua here points out, there's a Gemara later on in Daf Ayin that gives us a source. Eila hadvarim. Eila is gematria, right, this, and Eila hadvarim, yada. So we have a makar already, based on the Drashas Chazal. So the Pnei Yeshua says, that's a gematria. We'd rather not rely on that. Or, maybe, that tells me a number. But, how do I know, where do you get that 39 from? Okay, so either way, we have a couple of suggestions here. Tosfos says, again in the Havamina, you might have thought that it's one big happy malacha. Because many malachas are connected to each other. How do you know you're supposed to count Zorah, Borah, Merakit as three? How do you know you're supposed to count all various malachas as different ones? So, Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama, Keneged Avodas HaMishkan. That's what we paskin. Like number one here. How do you know the malachas of Shabbos? Keneged Avodas HaMishkan. All the malachas that they did in the Mishkan were not allowed to do on Shabbos. Machlokas Rishonim. Do we say, we mentioned this before, but it's Rashi right here. What does this mean, Mishkan? Does that mean Binyan HaMishkan? That is Rashi, right here. The examples Rashi gives is about Binyan HaMishkan. Or Rav Haigon says Avodas HaMishkan. Rav Haigon is quoted in Rashi later on. We'll get to it. I think it's about Tzadik Beis or so. But the Eglay Talon is like Dama points out this Machlokas, Rav Haigon versus everybody else. We paskin like Binyan HaMishkan. That are these malachas. Amar lehu Rav Yonasan bar Elazar, kach amar Rav Shimon Rav Yosi ben Lekunya. No, a different shot. Keneged malacha melachta umalecha shebatorah Avram chaser achas. No, it's the word malacha appears in 39 different ways in the Mishkan. Malacha melachto, 39 ways, and that's how you know. Asks the Rishonim already, and the Achronim, that's not true. There are many others. Rabbi Chananel right here says there are really 61 mentions. I did a computer search 1,000 years ago, says Rabbi Chananel, and there's about 61. So he works out how you knock off a number of them. A few of them only mean a job, not a specific malacha, so you knock off a few. You take out the malachas in Vayechulu, because that's talking about Hashem, that's not talking about us. See, he whittles it down, he takes out 13 that say malachas avoda. By Yantif, that's not malacha, so he whittles it down to 39. He gets 39. If you look in the Tosfos Yantif, also mentions this problem, and he also asks, why do we say 40 minus 1 and not 39? Right? Wouldn't it have been simpler? Right? Just say 39. So he says, Shal iti, Sha'aman, my son pointed out that he looked b'sefer concordancia, and he saw, the son says, Yadav says, my son looked in the concordancia, and he saw there's a lot more. There's a lot more. So he says, oh, look at Rashi. What does Rashi here say on Malacha? Rashi says, Sheksuvim b'chol ha-Torah, v'hachi kamar kro, lo sasa kol malacha, kominyin kol malacha sheva Torah. The Torah says, lo sasa kol malacha. Like all the time, it says malacha. What is Rashi telling me? We're not counting, don't count in your list all the times that the Torah is giving a command. Because that's lo sasa kol malacha. The Torah says that 10 times about Shabbos. Those are not included. It's, the Torah says, don't do malacha. How do you know what malacha is? Look elsewhere in the Torah where the word malacha is used. But don't look at other times where this isser is repeated. The asar is repeated. Mizela madati, she'ein lahachnis b'minyanim ela malacha, she'ein kasav ba, lo ashara v'lo onesh. Shal osan, she'ein bohem ashara v'lo onesh, aleim hu omer, shamar kasav shlo tasa osam. Dok v'tishkach, that there are, she'yihu arba'im v'lo yoser. There are 40. There are 40 altogether. But, so how do you get to 39? So that's the next Gemara coming up. Right now, let's go to the Gemara and then we'll finish the thought. Boy, Rav Yosef. When it talks about Yosef HaTzadik, when it says he came into the house to do his malacha, is that one included or not? So Amale Abaya, Valesi Sefer Torah Valimni, just take out a Torah and count. Milo Amar Abba Barachan and Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Zazim Mishama Shevi Yosef HaTorah Umanim, they've counted in the past, where Kiddushin talks about, they wanted to see what the middle of the Torah was, so take out a Torah and count. So Amar Lei said, no, the problem is there's another malacha that's also a suffix. By the Mishkan, where it says the Malacha was finished. So does that mean there was no, that's not describing a specific physical activity. It's just describing that the entire avodah of the Mishkan, they collected everything. And everything was done. Mi minyanahu, is that counted? Vahu kiman da'amar lasos trachav nichnas. And if you count that one, then you would not count. Because there's 40 altogether if you count both of these two. So if you count this one, you wouldn't count the Yosef one, and we would interpret the Yosef one is that he went in to do his trach, meaning he went in to be with Eishes Potiphar, and then he saw his father in the window, and he left. Rashi here quotes the Medrash. O Dilma, or no, Vayavah b'Yisalasa Malachto Miminyanahu. No, Yosef's is counted, because that's really Malachi, he went to do his work. Vahayva Malach Aisadayim, and this last one is not counted. Hachikam, or the Shalom Le'avita. It just means they finished the entire process of the Mishkan. Teku, so we don't know which one is left out. But says the Tosfos Yontif, beautiful! That's why we say 40 minus 1! Because really there are 40 Malachos in the Torah that we have to deal with. We're gonna take one off. We don't know which one, but that's why it's formulated as 40 minus 1. The other guys give it, oh, it's like Malchus. So why is Malchus 40 minus 1? Maybe that's an unbelievable Tosfos Yontif right here, based on this suggestion. Tanya Khan, the Armor Connected Avodas HaMishkan, the Tanya, the Brisa though, supports the first approach, that we connect it to Avodas HaMishkan, not the number of times it says Malacha. Tosfos says maybe the second opinion is building on the first opinion, but either way, Tanya Khan, the Armor Connected Avodas HaMishkan, the Tanya, Ein Chayavin Ela Al Malacha, Shekayotzi Bahaisa B'Mishkan. You only chayv on Shabbos for something that they did in the Mishkan. Heim Zaru Batem Lo Tizru. They planted, you can't plant. Heim katsur v'atem lo tiksaru. They harvested, you can't harvest. Rashi's examples that he gives here is binyan ha-mishkan. The Menachas Chinuch points out, in the desert, they planted? They planted in the desert? So the Menachas Chinuch calls Tosfos and Maseches Chulin, that says, yeah, the Bar Miriam made it fertile. Wherever they were in the Mishkan, right? It was fertile, so they could plant. Or, theoretically, they did that, had they had to. Even though they might have had it al derech neis, but either way, that's the Minchas Chinuch points us out in Yisro. Heim halu azakrashim mikarkal agala. They brought up the boards from the ground to the wagon. V'yatem lo tachnisa mirshus aram lo rishus ayachid. You should not be machnis from rishus aram to rishus ayachid. Also, an important line, because there's a machlokas rishonim whether hachnasa is an av or a tolda. Hotsa is an av. The example given in this brisa is hachnasa. Very interesting. They brought the boards down from the wagon to the street, so you shouldn't take out from private to public. They brought from wagon to wagon, so you shouldn't. Someone says, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Going from one to another, Rishas Yachid, on a Daraisa level. We had an earlier in the first parak, you shouldn't go from two different Rishas Yachids, one to the other, if it's the one's like much higher than the other, unless it's within a house, if you remember that. It's a Durabana. But anyway, what about on a Daraisa level? Abaya Barava, Dermi Shavayu, Vitamer Ravada Barava, Mirishas Yachid, Rishas Yachid, Derek Rishas Harabim. That's the problem. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but Hashem, we'll continue a little bit with more, Makoros, about the Avos Malachos, and then Beth Hashem, we'll get into the coming issues with Bamet Tomnin. Okay, Parshas here tonight.